for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, July the 5th, 2004. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carl Fox of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, is the speaker on this tape.
In the name of Jesus Christ, God bless you. After that praise, I don't feel I should be up here. It's pretty awesome. That prophecy, everything, so awesome. I have to leave when I get done here, because I'll be heading to Romania in a few days, and I got a lot to do. But I want you to know that it's going to be hard to leave. This camp is, there's such a fire here burning, and the chaff in people's lives is burning, and it's beautiful. And please, every one of you, to the youngest, to the oldest, and everything in between, don't get out of here without getting rid of some baggage that you brought in, okay? It's available to get rid of all of it. But get rid of some of it at least, okay? And we never in this world are going to be free of it all. But I'll tell you what, we can every day be a little bit more freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was talk in that prophecy, and Doc caught it. And so let's just go to Ephesians chapter 4. I believe I'll get where I'm going to go besides, but I just want you to take a look at something. Did you ever notice who Ephesians is addressed to? Go to chapter 1. And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. We're not at Ephesus, right? But it says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That puts that letter right to us as we're faithful. It doesn't say to be perfect, because we have a perfect spirit. And there's a lot of room in between that's not so perfect. But I praise God that He asks for faithfulness, not perfection. Isn't that great? Amen. You know, God has a right to ask for perfection. Did you know that? Because He's a perfect God, He gave a perfect spirit. And He's equipped us with so many ways, but He said, this letter is written to the faithful. And it doesn't mean too much when we get out in the North 40. Ephesians just don't seem to click. I've taught out of it at different times, and it's like you just couldn't get the people to really hear it. And the reason was is because their head was in the wrong spot, and it wasn't written to them. It's written to the faithful in Christ, all right? So anytime that you're looking at Ephesians and reading it, make sure that you're faithful. It's real easy to be there. It's a decision. It always, everything starts with a decision. But God's asking us for faithfulness. And faithfulness in Christ. Not faithful to a religion or a denomination or an idea or a theology or a doctrine of men or a doctrine of devils. Or just be faithful in Christ and He'll bring us through. And part of that faithfulness in Christ is that forgiveness. And if we go to Ephesians 4, it says, it talks about the ministry gifts, it talks about a lot of wonderful things, but let's get right over it. And in verse 22, these are ingredients of faithfulness and relationship with one another and with the Lord. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt, rotten, according to the deceitful lust. If that's not a deliverance scripture, I don't know what it is, okay? And there's a responsibility that I have to put that off in my life, and you have to put it off in yours. That's a very important ingredient for us to walk in the greatness of faithfulness, that we put these things off. We all, you know, there's nobody in this room that Jesus didn't have to die for, right? We all needed the price to be paid, that terrible price. And he's asking us to put that old man nature aside. And it will come up. It's amazing how dead flesh can get so loud sometimes. Right? And that's why we need deliverance. You know, we try to struggle. Satan is so subtle and sneaky that sometimes he pulls in there and he gets a hold and he's doing things and you have no idea that he's even doing it. I remember one time it seemed like I was pulling the whole city behind me just to move. It seemed like everything we'd done was hitting the wall. And my phone rings and I pick it up and I just about barked at whoever called. And he says, "Carl, take the day off." I says, "Yeah, right." He says, "No. It's God told me that you're under such a spiritual attack, you don't even know it. I don't care what you're doing. Take the day off." He said, "I'm on my face before the Lord." And I obeyed. And it was amazing, the difference it made. And I didn't even know that I was under a spiritual attack. I had no idea. You know, in Galatians it asks, it says, "Who has bewitched you?" Well, when you're bewitched, you don't know it. Because if you knew it, you wouldn't be bewitched. Right? Well, maybe you would. Maybe you'd like it, right? Not. No way. We've been there. That's that old man. You know, bewitching could get us to think that we're a legend in our own mind. Right? You know, I said this earlier this week, and I'll say it again, and you'll probably hear me say it many times still, but God don't need you. Get over it. He does not need you. He does not need you. We need Him. And that should humble us so that we don't get puffed up. But you know, the beautiful thing about it is God don't need you. He wants you. All right? He wants you. He paid. God willingly paid a price beyond what we can understand. Because He wants you. That's the reason for deliverance. And so more of us are there. It's more accessible and available to Him as we move forward. But we put those things aside. But because it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, that renewed, and I don't know for sure, but in Romans chapter 12, this one I don't remember, but it's, I believe the Greek word is metamorpho. It means to, it's like you do your part. This cocoon, this ugly little worm, weaves a cocoon around it. And it seals it. But it doesn't become a butterfly. God makes it into a butterfly. It's amazing. Because that ugly little worm does not turn itself into a beautiful butterfly. Isn't that great? So, we've been taught this theology, or I was, man. I can remember years ago, I just hammered on me, "Carl, renew your mind." And I'm going, "Give me a break. I don't hardly have one left. I need help. You know? Please, get off my case. I asked for prayer." And they're saying, "Carl, renew your..." You know why it didn't work? It's impossible. You cannot renew your mind. You can't any more renew your mind than that caterpillar. But that caterpillar somehow had in it, whether it had the ability to make a decision or it was just an instinctive nature. But that wonderful caterpillar, you know what it did? It did its job. It was faithful. All right, God's calling us to be faithful. You know, and as we're faithful, He makes this old mind new. All right? Our job is to be faithful. Spiritual warfare, it's a tough battle. But without faithfulness, without obedience, there is none. Because you're already defeated. All right? You're already defeated without that. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Isn't that wonderful? That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Where does that come from? Where does true holiness come from? Yeah? Hello? Are you awake? Where does true holiness come from? God, absolutely. Through who? Jesus Christ, right? Isn't that a wonderful thing? See, so it hasn't even really asked much of you, has it? Really, God hasn't asked very much here, has He? The devil will try to convince us, "Man, you give me a break." But He's asking for a decision. And I know that there's times that, well, I'll be honest with you, there's times that I don't want to go to Romania, as an example. You think, well, Carl, that would be crazy. I've been there so many times. You know, God, you keep sending me back to Romania. There's all these other countries I want to go to. I got Romanian brother and sister, okay? I'm not against Romania. I'm very pro-Romania. But my body gets tired of it. I hate that 10.5 hours between Houston and Amsterdam. And then you wait around and you get pushed around by a bunch of guys that are legends in their own mind that got a little gun in their belt or something, you know? And they're checking you out and all those things you got to go through. It's like, and then you get on the airplane and they crowd you in like you're, I know what sardines, if they had any feeling, felt like. And then you fly. And over there in Eastern Europe, they use garlic and onion as breath mint. Am I right? Huh? It's a way of life. First trip, the second day, I said, I got it figured out, guys. I said, what's that? That's eat onions. You know, I mean, if you're going to get in people's faces and love them, you can't be offended by breath. So if my breath is bad, go eat an onion. Or give me a breath mint. Somebody give me a breath mint. A couple, three of them, right? But it says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man what? I think that includes you wonderful ladies too, right? Truth with whom? Well, who's your neighbor? Who are you next to right now? This is our neighbors. It includes your family, includes your friends, includes your enemies. Why? Because we are members one of another. We talked earlier this week, we all know that we're part of the body of Christ, right? If we are part of the body of Christ, we cannot have a relationship with Jesus Christ because He's the head. If we're not having a relationship with each other. And if I got a bad relationship with you or you got a bad one with me, it's affecting our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what? We're all the same height. You know why? Because we're all under the head. And yet sometimes we think that, you know, we're so needed or we're so important. Well, He could have a lot of things to do what you do. One time I'd asked the Lord to, you know, when you ask Him for something, you know what He does? If it's good for you, you get it real quick, right? And I asked Him, I said, please, Father, help, keep me humble. And we're flying along, and I'm looking out the window at clouds, you know, so important and wonderful to look at, but gets boring quick. And then He said to me, He says, in the Old Testament, He says, I had a talking donkey. He said, in the New Testament, I got a talking fox. My name is Carl Fox, okay? So, the only thing I could see in there that was a compliment was, maybe I'm stubborn, huh? But God wants us humble so He can raise you up. God cannot raise us up if we're not humble. Because He'll hurt you. God loves you. He's not going to dump a bunch of stuff so your head gets so big. You know, they make these expandable hats, but they only can get so big, right? You know, relationship in the body of Christ is dependent on our efforts to love and care for one another. And that is where our relationship with Jesus comes. As we do our part, it's a very important part. The next verse is, be angry and beat them up. But they don't understand nothing else. I have told them. It don't work, does it? Well, I'm going to holler at them. Well, no, it says, be angry and sin not. Obviously, you can be angry without sinning. There are times, folks, that I know I can't stop myself from being angry, so I better angry. I better be really careful where I aim it. You know, we as saints of God, God's children, having the authority that our words have such authority that you have an atomic mouth. Okay? And you can nuke a brother or sister. We have got to be so careful. We can flash out and just fry them, and we as ministers, and I believe we all are, got to be very careful because we can wound people so deep that they never really get over it. I call those things clergy curses. Okay? I pray God, and I know there was a time I did some, I pray God that they don't fall into that trap. But it says, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, He made it easy for the Eskimos. because in the summertime the sun don't really go down. So they could go for a couple months without really having to deal with it. I know I was just up there, but you know what? Pretty soon, the sun goes down and it gets dark again. Isn't it amazing that when the sun goes down, it gets dark, right? And God don't want you to enter into that darkness with unforgiveness in your heart. You know, when you say, well, yeah, but the moon's out, and the moon is only a reflection. The moon has no power to give off light. So the people that worship Allah, this moon god, their god goes dark. Not only that, it steals its light from the one true God. Isn't that amazing? But we got to be really careful that we don't let the sun go down in wrath. Because you know what happens when you go to sleep? Your mind is wide open. All day long, you can deal with every thought. Satan is just reaching in and casting imaginations, casting thoughts. All these little demons are just casting thoughts. They have no idea many times. They're little demons that just run around with bags of seed. And they're just casting thoughts, casting thoughts, casting thoughts, casting thoughts. And they just keep doing it. They're tired of it, but the big guy told them they got to do it. And they're just casting thoughts. Those things are drifting a lot. Well, when those thoughts go through your mind of unforgiveness or whatever it is, you haven't sinned yet. Okay? Isn't that wonderful? How about a lustful thought? If you don't follow through with it and you put it down, it's not a sin. How about a thought of unforgiveness? If you don't entertain it, it hasn't become a sin. You put it down. False imaginations, put them down. Okay? That's your part. And if you don't, you know what they do? Boy, them seeds get in there. Brothers and sisters, when you took Christ within you and that dead spirit in you got reunited with the Spirit of God, which I believe is a connection that Adam and Eve lost. But if that doesn't fit your theology, forget that. But the bottom line is when you connected, that dead piece of meat between your ears became alive. And it became very fertile. Very fertile. These little demons, they just cast in these thoughts, just buckets of them, casting them out, just throwing them everywhere. They don't care if they land on sinner or saint, but they really like to have them, boom, go in your mind, because your mind is fertile. It isn't, you know, your mind might have been a dead rock, but when you got Christ in you and the Spirit of life comes into you, eternal life, there's a life that happens in there. And it's a mind that Satan loves to put bad seed in. We can't stop them seed from coming. I heard some ideas on that, but I haven't found it in the Word, really. You got to deal with it. And it's our responsibility, and we have to look out for one another. And that's one of the wonderful things about this camp. But when you're sleeping, you know, God told me one time I was really tired, and I said, man, where's the rest, God? Where's the rest? He says, you think you're Carl, you think you're tired? Satan hasn't rested through it since I threw him out. Isn't that wonderful? Why do you think he tries to steal your rest? He hasn't had any peace since he rose himself up and threw himself out. Right? Why do you think he does everything he can to steal the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5? Why do you think so? Because he just wants to get a little fragrance of it. Just a little taste of it. That's why forgiveness is such a treacherous thing. It's one of his strong tools. It's unforgiveness. See? And God made a way for us to be forgiven. And he gave you the ability to forgive. But do not let the sun go down in your wrath. Does that mean that we get wrathful? Yes, you do. And so do I. Right? You ever get really mad? Maybe you guys don't, but I pray for me then, because sometimes I really do. And I have to make sure that it doesn't get to that point. Okay, I have a zeal for life. I've never been accused of being halfway Carl. You know, it's like, you know, people say, man, it's crazy, Carl. You just pour it in and go for it. I don't know any other way, praise God. All right? That's what we're supposed to do. But see, we have to be careful, because when we have a zeal for that, and we, boom! Oops. I just broke it. But when you have a zeal for that life that you have, you have to be careful, because that's that atomic mouth. And you will never overdose on forgiving people. You will never overdose on saying, please forgive me. Okay? You will never overdose on love, and you'll never overdose on the giving or the getting of it. And that's the truth. And you have the ability to do that, because the Spirit of life in you, that Spirit of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, all the things in the Word of God, that's that very thing. My Bible says, and I bet it says it in yours too, that He put the same Spirit in you that raised Jesus from the dead. Now come on, think about it. Just a minute. Just stop and think about that. That's the Spirit. You know what that has? It has patience. That Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead had to wait 72 hours. Now I know when they say Jesus died and got up, there's a problem there. Because 3 days and three nights, three times 24, where I went to school in Pillager, Minnesota, came out to be 72. That's another story. But if you read the Bible, you can see the truth. But it was 3 days and three nights. The law, that's when you were declared legally dead. Jesus was dead for 72 hours. Dead. Not in the hell wrestling with the devil. And that's another sacred cow. Bang. Now, come on. Come on. I seen a big production one time. And I thought, whew, that's special. But if he was alive dead, then he wasn't dead, right? The Bible says, let your yeas be nays, and your yeas be yea, and your nays be nays, right? Well, you think God would ask you to do something he doesn't do? Think about it and read the Bible. Pray. Jesus really did die for you. He didn't die a piece of him. He literally gave up his life. Because he gave up the Spirit, right? The Spirit of life. Jesus let it go. He really let it go. He really died so you can really live. But that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, amazingly, had patience. Oh, I need more patience. I don't know about you. I get all fired and wired. That's what makes it hard riding on an airplane. I want to get out and run, you know. But thank God I've got a whole bunch of books. A whole new batch to take with me. But that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, you have. So you can't tell me that I cannot forgive this or I cannot forgive that. That person has not asked me, where does it say that they have to ask you before you forgive them? Who do you think you are? Huh? Putting ourselves a little above God, isn't it? You know, God said words and created all this wonderful world. He said, let there be light, and there was light, right? So where does forgiveness starting? By speaking it. By speaking it. That's where it starts. But I don't feel like it. Well, you know, that and a buck, you can get a cup of coffee. No tip for the waitress. Some restaurants won't do it anymore. See, it starts. It doesn't start with how you feel. It's the same thing. There's times that people have lost their deliverance. And we've watched them, and they got so delivered. And they walk away and they say, I don't feel no different. And before they know it, they've taken back all that grief. I've seen that with healing. I've seen a lady run, got out of her wheelchair and ran. And her family talked her into within 3 days. 3 days out of a wheelchair. Within 3 days, they had her back in that wheelchair. Did she get healed? Yes, she did. Is that many? I thought it was higher than that. I didn't think it took that long. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, I have seen it. I'll tell you where I stand on healing, okay? When I pray for you, when you pray for me, and you do it in the name of Jesus Christ, and you do it in faith and love, you're healed. I'm healed. Now, if we're stupid enough to believe the lies that your body's telling you, then what's your God? You know, when I broke my neck in 91, and this arm didn't move, it just hung. You know, I'd go over and lay this hand on people. I'd anoint them with oil with my left hand. I'd lay hands on them, pray, and they'd get healed. And there was always these cacklers in the back, you know. And all hands aren't female. Some of them are males. Just cluck, cluck, cluck. What's the matter with that brother? Maybe he's not even a brother. Look at him. He isn't healed. You know what? You can't pay attention. Those are words. Those are faith killers. You know what? It's the same way. You know, my arm, several times after I had the movement back, nobody butchered on this arm. I would not let them. They thought I needed a psychiatrist. I had to fire that doctor. You know? He needed the psychiatrist. He really did. But I tell you what, this arm is healed.
Amen.
All right? But you know what? When we prayed, it was healed. Now, it took near 3 years. My wife and I talked about it. We can't figure out exactly how long it was. 2.5, 3 years, something like that. But you know what? I really wasn't hanging with anybody back then that really believed in faith. I'm sorry. They didn't really believe in healing. They said they did. They'd come to me and say, "Brother, you got to get that thing. Come on. That's pride." You know? I had a guy in the denomination that we went to cemetery together. And he come to me, good old buddy, you know, and says, Carl, man, he said, you know, it's not right for you to lie. You claim that you're a man of God, and you're saying you're healed, and your arm is dead. And I said, shut up and get out of my house. And don't come back. I thought you were my friend. He hasn't come back either. I called him. I said, hey, I didn't mean to blow it that hard. Forgive me for it. But watch your mouth, baby. Do not tell me that once there's a prayer that there isn't a healing. I believe there is. How soon does it say the devil comes? Instantly, right away, right? What's his ministry? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's been doing it so long, it's a habit. You know, he loves to put a habit on you. I'm not talking about a little nun's uniform, okay? I'm talking about a habit, pattern. He loves to slip that thing on you, an addiction, whatever. But see, he's caught in those things. He can only give you what he's got. Isn't that amazing? Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Let's go back up here. Neither give place to the devil. That's what we're talking about. Don't give place to him. All right? Don't. That's simple. He didn't make a long verse there, did he? Neither give you place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But I don't steal. I don't shoplift. I'll tell you what. If somebody's struggling for faith to be healed, to be delivered, or for somebody in their family to come to the Lord, and you go and tell them it's not going to happen, you're a thief. All right? Don't do it. When we speak contrary to what God's Word says, we're thieves and liars. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands. You know, what do you do with your hands? You go over and you say, "Sister, God bless you. Can I pray for you?" You lay hands on, right? That's working with your hands. It's also get a job. Paul says, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat, right? But do the thing which is good that he may have to give that to him that needs. That's our job, okay? Why does God give you so you can give to those that have need? You know how the doors of heaven will open over you? You know how you shut down poverty? You give. The first thing I done when the finances didn't come together and the government of Romania found some technicality and come in and took my kids. Why did they want them kids? They were educated. They knew English, they were well-behaved, and they were cows that they could sell. Now, they don't admit that. But that's what it got down to, because the children in Romania weren't being taken care of. They still aren't. There's some good orphanages, but most of them are meat markets. We fought off the mafia. They threatened my life. You know, like they think they can take my life. Been bought by a price. You know why? There's a big money in pedophile. Children pornography. Some of the people who made it illegal have got a library full. Probably, I don't know that. I suspect it. But see, we've got to hold in there, and we've got to hold on to the truth, and we need to do what the Word of God says. And if you feel like you're the only one doing it, there was a famous man in the Bible that said that too, and God says, I got, what was it, 700 or 7,000 had bent their knee. 7,000, wasn't it? Okay, my memory's good, but sometimes it isn't there. But let's watch our corrupt communications. Don't let them proceed out of your mouth. If you got to stop in the middle of a sentence, if it came out, Father, forgive me. Bob, I didn't mean to say that. Forgive me. I was wrong. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that we may be able to minister what? Grace to the hearers. How does the faith come? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, right? When you do that, that's the Word of God being spoken. The Bible says our job is to be a living epistle, not a deadhead for Jesus. All right? But a living epistle that can be read. Oh, but my faith is private, you know. That's a private thing. Yeah? Well, good. Keep it private, because it don't sound like it's the right kind of faith, all right? Okay? We should be willing to be read. They're going to read you anyway, and if you're counterfeit, it comes out. But here's where I really wanted to get, is verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Doesn't say work on it. It says, just real straight, it says, just don't grieve the Spirit of God. It's holy. Whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Man, God is really clever. He took a corrupted, rotten people, and He put His Spirit in when they accepted Jesus and the salvation available. And He took a corrupted person, He opened them up, and He sealed that Spirit in there. Why did He seal it? So I can't contaminate it. So you can't contaminate it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He sealed it. That's what it says. Till the day of redemption. We're here today. We've been here this week, seeking a greater redemption, haven't we? That's what I've been doing. I got some good stuff today. Whew, baby. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, man, them are devils, right? You don't feed on that stuff. And clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's like God gave me a picture. And I said, how do you mean, God? And I got a picture of somebody spitting. The big old whacker. In other words, don't keep it in your mouth. Spit it out. Don't take that in. Do not digest those things. Excuse my crudeness, okay? You got the picture, didn't you? Okay? That's called a word picture. Okay? And I didn't hit you, did I? No. But it doesn't say He's going to do it for you. You have to let. So it appears to me that there's a cooperation thing with the Lord. Because He says, let. This is wonderful, man. This is not a heavy thing He's asking. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all. In other words, you know what He's saying? I'll help you. Let me. Let me. God is so good. God says, come on in to the camel through camp. Get set free. Let yourself be set free. I'm waiting to help you. I have ministers here to help you. I provided this place to help you. I'm filling this place back up because my people are getting helped. Praise God. Amen. Remember this place. Remember. Boy, the staff here, you talk about people that are in the thick of it. Don't get any days off, do you? Yeah, what's that? You know, what a privilege. Seriously, I'm not trying to stroke them so they invite me back. There's always a chance they won't, but you're going to get me delivered yet, aren't you? Yeah, amen, amen. That's faith. Man. That's faith, all right? Amen. And you notice how He said it? There was no threat in it, was there? Okay, because He said, "This is my brother Glenn. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted. Be tenderhearted, tenderhearted." Well, I tell you what, there was a time I didn't even have a heart. And you talk about a hardened man, because I was proud of it. That's a heart attack. You got to have a heart to have a heart attack. And yet I had a curse that all the fox males die between age 40 and 50. Got rid of that curse. I'm here to tell you, it's real. Yeah. 161, sneaking up on 62. Just barely past middle age, according to the Bible. I'm just a kid, that's right. So are you, brother. Amen? Amen, just a little older kid. All right? As they say in Romania, puțin, right? Little bit older. But that's practices, okay? And that's one of the things I see here that just I love it. It says, be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, God for Christ's sake forgave you. You didn't deserve it, sir. I'm sorry. All right? You didn't either. All you beautiful women, you didn't deserve it. All you wonderful, handsome brothers, you didn't deserve it, okay? God done it for Christ's sake. Isn't that an awesome thing? Because God has to be a just God. God is a very just and a very honest and a very pure God. And He couldn't do it really for your sake. You know why? You were so undeserving. Get over it, okay? All right, don't deny that. Because I said were. You know what were means? Behind you. It's back behind, right? It's past tense. You accepted Jesus Christ, and God did it for Christ's sake. Now, as we come to Him and ask for forgiveness, you've got Christ in you, right? Then guess what? He's still doing it for Christ's sake. Because it's Christ in you. And when we forgive one another, we do it for Christ's sake. If we can remember that we're all the same height. You know, I've never really permitted anybody to put Rev in front of my name. When I first got ordained, man, they give you this piece of paper that said Rev. I said, you made a mistake. And they said, what? I said, that's not my name. And then they give me this big theology. I said, you know what? If you can't put brother on there, then don't give it to me. I said, I'm honored to receive this, but I can't take it because I do not believe it is the godly way. Now, if I'm shooting a sacred cow, forgive me. But you know what? No man or no woman is more important than anybody else. You know, as far as privilege, the greatest time I had this morning or this day, and nothing to get away from you guys, but I had a good time with the kids. You know what I mean? I had a, you know, and they're thinking, you know, why did they let this old guy in there? We tricked them after praise. They thought they were free of me and I got back. You know, God is good. You kids are great. You know, God is so good. And you kids, and I say it with respect. To me, it was an honor. It's an honor to be permitted to come to this camp. It's an honor that God has entrusted His Word to me. All right? I suspect it's all right. But that's just remember, we're all Jesus juniors, okay? All right? We're not above Him. We're not above God, and we're not above one another. Now, there are positions of authority that are necessary, because if there isn't some structure, you'd have anarchy. Believe me. So those things are necessary. Glenn has never strutted himself around. I've never seen it, even when he has to correct somebody. I see the tears falling out of his eyes. It's not because he has an eye disorder. All right? Because it's love. All right? I've seen Doc, too, and I've seen him get real tough at times. But I've also seen the compassion. I've seen it with my brother Clement. I've seen it with many of you. See, because if we can see that it is a privilege for God to give us a position in the body of Christ to be able to serve, it's a privilege, okay? And it's not, there's nobody here that's Jesus on a stick. So just, come on. Some people get so puffed up, all right? You know, that's one reason it's not disrespect that I don't wear a necktie, all right? I do everything I can to be just like where I'm at. I got in the habit in Romania. When I first went over there, there's wonderful men of God, didn't even own a necktie. You know, there's no way I was going to go in there and try to distinguish myself. You know, and maybe I'm a little strange. I'm not saying to do this as a doctrine, but that's the way I've been led, all right? I did a wedding one time without a necktie. It wasn't intentional. I lost the one I always kept hidden in my briefcase. You know what? That marriage is still very strong and very beautiful. Isn't that awesome? And nobody even noticed it. You know why? Because I did everything I could to have the attention on the bride and groom. You know, and I really made everybody understand. You know, when you go to a wedding, you are a witness to that union that God has brought together, and you've got a responsibility to pray for them. We have so many privileges, and with privilege comes responsibility, right? God did not, even though He has all this wealth, His greatest wish for you is that you prosper and be in health, but He still does not give us the right to abuse, even the unbeliever. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And now I want to go just back in the Old Testament. It's hard to say if this is old or new because it sure applies today. But in Malachi chapter 3, because I just want to make a quick statement about poverty, because I see some poverty here. Do we have, how much time do I have on there? Okay, well, I don't need that much, but for sure. I want to go to Malachi, okay? Folks, the only way that I know that we could be free from poverty, now I know there's, and I see in the Bible dispensations, okay? But when you take dispensationalism to an extreme, then you bring in bad doctrines. And bad doctrines are doctrines of devils. I believe that when we make a doctrine so important that we cannot honestly look at the Word anymore, that becomes a doctrine of devils. Because then we separate ourselves away and we become some kind of a purist, okay? And we all know of great ministries that started out great that fell apart that very way. But I do believe that the tithe is very much today. And for those that would say that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law of the tithe, then I will say to you that He fulfilled the law of love, so quit loving. Because tithing and loving preceded the law administration, right? Okay, am I right? And in Malachi chapter 3, and in verse 6, it's interesting. Right here, God makes such a powerful statement. He says, "For I am the Lord." Well, of course He is. Come on, you're not the Lord. We know that, okay? But He says, "I change not." James says, don't be double-minded, right? Unstable. God is not double-minded, and He's not unstable. Now, the God of this world is. By the time He finishes His lie, He's changed again. But He says, "I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Oh, but I'm not a son of Jacob. Oh, yeah? It's in the bloodline. By faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? Third generation. He's talking about the third generation after Abraham. Now, we're further along, but still, if Abraham is not the father of faith for you, go read your Bible again, okay? Okay, just read your Bible. It will speak to you. It makes it real clear. Is that Old Testament? It's all the way through, folks. From that day forward. God has not changed it. It hasn't even been changed in that new book I found in my Bible called Concordance. You know, Concordance is, I just don't understand that. When you try to read it, I can't make any sense out of it, you know? So I got to be honest with you, I never read that one. By the third or fourth word, I got discouraged. You know? But see, Abraham is our father of faith. He was faithful. All right? So, you sons of Jacob, we are sons of Jacob, all right? Get used to it, right? People could teach more about that than I am, but I'm up here, so I'll do my best. Verse 7, it says, "Even from the days of your fathers you've gone away from my ordinances." That's why we needed Jesus. "And have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." By the way, folks, just real simple, truth or consequences talk, all right? Real simple, when it's the Lord of hosts, don't stick around and sin. That's God speaking, the ferocious God. That's not Daddy God. That is God with His, it's the Lord of hosts. You know what the hosts are? Warring angels. It's very, you don't want to stir that, you don't want to stir God up in that area, okay? In that authority. And it's the Lord of hosts that spoke. And He says, but you said, wherein shall we return? Hey, we've been taught it's not in this administration. We're supposed to give in love. It doesn't say in here you're not supposed to give in love. Why did God, what does the word tithe mean? It only means tenth. One tenth, that's all it means. But I really know, because I know, that God gives you yours, and He gives you His, and then He watches to see what you're going to do with His. He isn't even asking you to give back out of yours. A tithe is given. He gave you 110. I really believe that, folks. He gave it to you, and He said, here, what you going to give back, Bob? See, when you give offerings and you give alms, all these wonderful things, don't include that in your tithe, all right? Or don't call it an offering or a love gift, all right? God gave you yours and His. He's watching to see what you're going to do with His. When you prove to Him that you're trustworthy, He's going to bring great abundance into your life. This is how you get rid of the curse of poverty, because that's read on, and it even shows us in where it comes from. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Pride there, huh? Cast that one out. But He says, in tithes and offerings. Right there, there's a distinction. He said tithes and offerings. He could have said tithes, or He could have said offerings. But He said both. Yeah, two robbers. One man, two robberies. One woman, two robberies. But listen to this. This is what verse 9 says. Hey, you guys know this. I'm saying this so that you can get your heart set with this to help the body of Christ that's living in poverty. I taught this in Romania years ago. God says you've got to teach it. I said, God, they haven't got too late to rub together. Give me a break. You expect me to preach about tithing? Some of these people don't have a house to live in. God, you know, when I get dumb like that, He don't answer me. He already spoke. I can get religious and say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Don't expect Him to answer stupid. All right? So if you're not hearing from Him, check what you ask Him. He didn't answer me. So I go, okay, man. Okay, God, but I need your help because I feel guilty. I feel guilty because of what I have. God says, I can give you spirit guilt. Now He's answering me, see, because I'm being honest. And I taught it, and you know, they do give tithes and they give offerings over there. I don't know how, but I get invited into homes. I look. And you can see through everything. It's still worn. And yet they put on a feast. How can they do that? And you know what they do if you try to not eat very much? And you know that. You're from there. Eat, eat, eat. Oh, you don't like my food. They think the Italians invented that. Good Lord. I mean, they give. And they have to give. You know? This is a mystery. This thing is a mystery, okay? You can't figure it out. You know, when we have needs, Sheila and I have learned years ago, and we just do it. There's needs that come up. We're looking for ways to give. Fact is, we're looking ahead of time. Father, where do we give our gift? You know what happens? It works. It works. You know what He does sometimes? He gives it to me ahead of time to give. Because God loves to have His kids give. All right? It really works. You got problems in your business? Don't be a skinflint. Probably the biggest part of it is your tithe. You got areas you can give. We're talking, and of course, none of you are guilty, so I'm teaching you this so you can teach others, all right? Okay? And you can't tithe to me because you don't even know my address. So I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this because I get a cut. All right? I'm teaching this because I am so tired of seeing poverty in the body of Christ that I could scream. And I do scream. I'm screaming now! good Lord God will give to you so you can give. All right? You're not giving from yours. He owns everything. He bought you with the blood of Jesus Christ. He owns you. Oh, but I got... Give me a break. Everything you got is his. You know how we started to work in Romania? We sold our house. Scared Sheila. But she says, okay, honey. We sold our house. That's how we financed and we opened it. You know why? Because I refused to go in with somebody giving money and strings. So I had to go in and do the same kind of filth as I knew was going on there that they call Christianity. You know, God has taken care of us. We experienced a couple of years ago. I remember these two gentlemen right here. You guys praying with me. Remember when we were having a problem in Tennessee? You guys prayed for me. You know what? I took a $36,000 loss on that. You know what happened? In less than a year, a man came, and I've had a dream for years. I've never spoken to any of you to have a place in the middle of the wilderness. And we were given, and I wouldn't take it because so he put it in the ministry. But we were given a beautiful place, 8,400 feet above sea level. It cost more than twice what I lost, given to us, right in the middle of the Gila National Forest, which is 3,300 acres of wilderness, pristine wilderness. I see bear, I see elk, I see antelope, I see deer, I see bears, I see mountain lions. But you know what I see every time I go? The glory of God.
Yeah.
Every time I go in there, I just well up inside that God would provide. Because you know what we did when we left there? We stopped and we brushed the dust off our feet and we moved forward. We forgave. And we have. That was one of the things I checked when you got up and was talking about that prophecy about forgiveness. I mentioned that name to make sure that I didn't have on forgiveness. I was so thankful I didn't have. Good Lord. You know, if you give, it's giving back. Press down, shaking over. We can go to the epistles, but it's real clear in here, so we're not going to because I'm going to be done in about 2 minutes. But he says, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Folks, the curse of poverty comes from God. Did you hear me? Okay? The curse of poverty, you can't say it's from Satan. It comes from God because you stole from Him. Quit stealing. Ask for forgiveness. Watch Him bring it back. So when you repent and you ask God to forgive you, you know what He does? He not only forgives you, He don't even remember your guilt. So He's looking and He's saying, wow, look at there. Look at that. They're doing their tithes and offerings. And things are tight. So He just opens the doors of heaven over you and pours out blessings. But see, it isn't just in the finances. It's every area of your life. All right? If you will give, you can't keep up with the getting. When the problems happened with the orphanage, one of the things we did, we didn't have enough to make a difference anyway. So you know what we did? We gave it away. Crazy? Yeah, it didn't make any sense at all. But God has made it work so wonderfully. God is faithful. I'm not bragging. I'm giving testimony that God is really faithful. You know, that's an area that it seems like that's the last bastion of faith that some people have a problem with is their checkbook. That's, you better trust God there, okay? He is your sufficiency in most things. All things, right? All things. And all things means all things, folks. So, I guess... What are we going to call this? It has something to do with given and forgiven, all right? But you figure it out. But the bottom line is that if we can walk in forgiveness, we're going to be a lot freer to give, folks. There's our title. Walk in forgiveness and be freer to give. Praise God. Father, would you please all stand? Lord God, stretch a little bit. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are real. And I thank you. And I thank you that you continue to prove yourself to each and every one of us. Father, that you have always kept your word. And Father, you know the needs in every person here tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak your bounty and your goodness, your grace, your favor, your love, your mercy, your forgiveness into every need in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that we can not just praise God like we had earlier tonight, Father. Help us to be able to praise you by receiving your goodness into our lives, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let our lives be a praise. That when we come in here, it's just a tune-up. Let us, Father, learn to be a praise. That we can be a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And we can be a living sacrifice in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for every one of my brothers and sisters that are here. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word is true. Because it's your word, Father. I thank you, Father, that your promises are true. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I break the curse of poverty off every person here. Because, Father, we repent of stinginess and stealing in the name of Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm not just talking about money, okay? I'm talking about loving. I'm talking about forgiving. I'm talking about doing the things of God. And, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you that you forgive us. Father, that we can come boldly before your throne of grace and see your goodness fall from the windows of heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, your word promises, Heavenly Father. It's your promise that if we obey, that we have all the blessings. Father, help us to obey because we're having trouble. We got some problems obeying, Father. And I thank you that you give us the strength to obey. And I thank you, Father, you bless us with a bounty of obedience and a bounty of heart to obey in the name of Jesus Christ. And I just want you to sit down. And I don't know what words are going to come out here, but I just trust in God, and I want you to repeat them with me, but go ahead and sit down. I ask you to sit down for selfish reasons. I want to see your faces, okay? I got to leave pretty quick. When you stood up, I could only see a couple rows. And then the big guys back there. This has been, for me, a great privilege to be here. There are so many people more qualified to share than me. I thank you, Glenn, for trusting me for being here. I thank each one of you for being here. We all could have been somewhere else, but thank God we're here. And we probably all went through a little bit of inconvenience to get here. Even the ones that are here went through an inconvenience of having to work really hard to keep this boat floating. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray blessings over Glenn and over all the staff, whether they're here or not, or out there working or resting. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak blessings, Father, over the staff. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, you know their very needs. In the name of Jesus Christ, and I speak rest over my brother Glenn. In the name of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, your word says that we're supposed to pray for laborers. I finally figured that out, and I give you a great report, folks. We got laborers moving to through the consequences of New Mexico. Some have already moved, and things are flowing so much better. And so, Father, I pray for laborers over Lake that come into Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we have a couple laborers that have gone to rest to be with the Lord. And Father, I just thank you that there be many to replace them. And I thank you, Father, that they come in from the north, south, east, west, or all from any direction. But they come with hearts of service and gratitude to the Heavenly Father. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that they are brought in. And I thank you that there could be the unity that is in this camp that is such a beautiful thing. I thank you that it continues and even grows and prospers and bears much fruit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that my brother Glenn gets his rest at night. I thank you, Father, for just giving him supernatural rest in the name of Jesus Christ and supernatural strength. I speak the same thing to my brother and friend Doc. In the name of Jesus Christ. The guy came here to retire. Can you imagine? He didn't.
Just changed jobs.
Yeah, he changed jobs. But you know what? You were working for the Lord back there in Kansas, too. And so I thank you, Father. And I thank you for each person here. But Father, I thank you that these prayers are answered exceedingly, abundantly above, more than we can ask or think. And that the very needs, every one of them are taken care of. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Father, how you've drawn these two men together to stand together and the rest of this family in this camp. And I thank you for your protection. I thank you for angels ministering to every need and angels to carry away these filthy little demons. Little demons, they're not big. In the name of Jesus Christ, that they all be brought out and dumped somewhere where they can't get loose. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. I'm a believer in the abyss, folks. And I take them to the abyss. In the name of Jesus Christ. They violated. When they come in here, they violated. This is holy ground. All right? So in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of these devils that went outside their legal right, that they are bound, gagged, and taken to the abyss and kicked over with no ceremony, that they can fall into that pit in the name of Jesus Christ. They come loose someday for their judgment and destruction in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, brother. God bless you.
Big blessings on us. A big blessing, Lord. Big traveling mercies, Lord. A big blessing and wisdom and knowledge, spiritual wisdom and knowledge and counsel and might and
yes,
fear of the Lord. Will
yes,
travel
Lord.
With him, Lord God, and be
yes.
with him, Lord, and counsel him, Lord, as he goes forth.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you and praise you.
Amen. I receive it.
Lord, I thank you for favor and romance.
Yes.
Even though they don't want to give it to him, they'll have it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I love you. And I love Romania, okay? I hate politics in any country. I hate it. And it's okay to hate. Did you know that? It's okay to hate the devil, and it's okay to hate evil. So when you got hatred going to come up, and it will, aim it. All right? Dump it on the one that's the author of it. All right? It's a wonderful thing. Don't try to suppress something that's trying to squish your head in the vice. Dump it back where it come from. Let him have it. If more Christians was doing that, I believe if more Christians was throwing demons into the abyss, we wouldn't have so darn many to stumble over. If they'd been doing that for the last 2,000 years, what a difference. And if I'm wrong, God will judge me, right? But I study the Bible and I listen to other people speak. I believe that it's available because we have authority. God said, clear back in Genesis chapter 3, you can crush his head. You might get a sore heel, but oh! All right? Amen? I'm talking to you kids, too. All right? We have authority. Let's take our authority. Let's take the victory. We're getting victories here. Take them home with you and don't let them be stolen. And if you're getting discouraged, hang out with some believers that believe this kind of stuff. There's a wonderful bookstore there. Get some good meat there. Amen? Let's move forward. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, bless this camp as it continues. Bless Chris in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother, like you have never been blessed before, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak fire into your mouth that it comes out in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Bless this man. And he is a wonderful man of God. And everybody else that speaks in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that this is only the beginning of great and awesome victories. And victories is ours when?
Now.
Right now, today, okay? So if there's anybody that needs prayer, I'm here. I'll be here for another hour or so. So there's some people that I promised I would pray for. And so get up here because I don't want to be a liar, okay? Amen.
Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.